What inspired this foray into science fiction?
Well, a few things. I've always loved science fiction, and I've always loved writing, and so I didn't make it my profession initially. I wanted to do some other things. I wanted to fly in space, but I've always really enjoyed it. The sharing of ideas, the sharing of imagination, and science fiction is kind of like how the little kid sees the world, right? It's this blend of what already exists and what might exist. And I think we need that type of visualization on the edge of reality in order to help push ourselves into, what we really need to solve the problems of the future.
So you mentioned you read sci-fi growing up. What kind of novels did you read?
Oh, a bunch. I grew up on a farm, so lots of time to read. I read Edgar Rice Burroughs, his various series, and Arthur C. Clarke, and Asimov. I read comic books originally, and all that kind of stuff, and a whole mixture. Ray Bradbury, there's some such beautiful, eloquent writing, but a lot of it just sort of pushing the edge of what I was fantasizing about, and sort of giving me the script for what I was also seeing in the night sky and watching on Star Trek, on TV, and it all was sort of my own imagined real world as a kid growing up on a farm in Southern Ontario.
Now you have a lot of things on your resume there, Chris: pilot, astronaut, musician, mechanical engineer. How does novelist differ in terms of the workflow? Have you found?
It was a pretty scary thing to do. I've done three other books. The first one is sort of it's Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. It's exactly that, a guide to life. So it's very factual. The second one was pictures, the best pictures I took of the world. And the third was a children's book, which is sort of a crossover between fantasy and reality. Space flight and everything that lies beyond our atmosphere is really inspirational and mind expanding and sort of promising. It's the great stories of heroism, of the great challenges, and can I rise to them, and can I change who I am and then overcome all the obstacles and discover, strange new worlds. And so to try and tell the practical side of my experiences, what's it like to fly in space and do a spacewalk and feel weightless and see the world and all those other things, but to tell it in a compelling enough way that it makes it real for people, that they can really get a sense what it would be like for them there, how they would face the various challenges, how they deal with the imperfections, and then what it would change about them and do to them as a person. It's hard to do that in a purely factual way. You almost need to tell an entire story. And so when the idea occurred to me for this book, I just thought, wow, that's an interesting moment in history. And there's a lot of things that I can include in this, and I'm going to give it a shot. And I'm really delighted with how the book has come out. I learned a huge amount, and there's so many real people in the book, as well as the characters that I had to create to tell the story. So it's been a year-long oil painting where I've been making a little brush strokes the whole time, and I was really delighted today to be able to announce it to everybody.
Well, I mean, you have this novel under your belt now. Are other projects on the go in terms of writing, or are you going to switch to an entirely new profession after this?
Well, I have a lot of projects on the go. I help run a technology incubator in Toronto called the Creative Destruction Lab. I chair a lunar settlement foundation in San Francisco called the Open Lunar Foundation, about how we are going to set the laws and rules and property rights and things like that as we start to settle the moon over the next few decades. I consult with a bunch of space companies. Just got announced today that I'm on the space advisory board to Virgin Galactic, and they're going to be flying here very shortly, this weekend probably. I play a lot of music, and I was supposed to be touring with Bowie's band this past summer, but the guys that Bowie played with for most of his life, and of course, nobody toured this summer. So I'd like to get back to playing some music. And then I teach at the University of Waterloo part-time, and then I speak all over the world virtually now, talking about ideas and useful things that people are going to apply in their lives. So lots and lots of different projects, and I enjoy them all. And I think I'll keep writing as well, Curtis. My wife was saying, now that you're just about done with this book, what are you going to do next? And I was like, I don't know, I'm going to take a break. She said, well, why don't you, you know, write a sequel? I'm like, a sequel? Give me a break. I just got this book done. But I think she's right. It's a good time to push ourselves and to do something that, you know, under the differences of COVID and the pandemic, it's a good time to try something different beyond all the things you have to do every day in your life. And I enjoy the learning and the personal challenge of building a story like this. So yeah, we'll see. I don't know when I'll get the energy again, but I expect that's what I'll do next.
Now, it's been coming up on 8 years here since you were last in space. Do you still find yourself drifting into moments where you kind of feel weightless? Does that still happen to you?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not a momentary experience that I had. It was a huge part of my life. You know, I served as one of Canada's astronauts for 21 years and worked on it every single day, you know, and then flew in space three times and spent half a year off the planet. So it wasn't just an experience, but it was kind of definitive and foundational as to who I am. Yeah, it's sort of like, do you remember your teens or your 20s? You know, well, do I remember them? Well, yeah, that's who I am. You know, that's how I became the person I am now. So yeah, I think about it when I see imagery of it, when I look up at the sky and watch the space station go over, it's, you know, being weightless is just like walking for me, or swimming, or running. It's just one of the things that has been part of my life. And I think it's just sort of deepened and enriched my appreciation for everything else that I do, just like all other life's experiences. I count myself hugely lucky, Curtis, to have had that as part of my life, and now to be able to look for all different ways to share it.
You mentioned you're on the board of Virgin Galactic. I'm interested to hear your thoughts about this. It's really a new era of space travel where it's private companies running the show as opposed to nations. Does that change the dynamic at all, or is it still the same old spaceflight?
Isn't it intriguing that two of the guys who read a lot of science fiction and were hugely inspired by the Apollo program are the two richest guys in the world? To me, that's really fascinating.
Yeah, really.
And that both of them, they didn't want to just become rich, and they didn't want, like, one's a delivery guy, you know, one made PayPal. That wasn't their end game. They want to do what they were dreaming of, and they both have started rocket space companies, and they are radically changing the way that we can leave Earth, making it much simpler and safer and therefore cheaper. And Virgin Galactic, that I'm helping to advise now, you know, they're looking for what is the least expensive, safe way to get people up to the edge of space and back. And Jeff Bezos is trying to do the same. And Elon's taking people into orbit. And there's a Canadian flying here within the next year or two up to the space station. It's still, you know, very complicated and therefore still quite expensive. But I think it's great that we've taken the 50 or 60 years of government-financed legacy and now used all of that expertise. It's sort of like, you know, airplanes. As soon as we get through COVID and flight gets back to something a little more normal, we sort of take them for granted, where not very long ago, you know, one long human lifetime ago, flight was impossible. And now we just take it for granted after huge amounts of government investment. And so I think it's great that we're starting to turn that corner in space flight and find simpler and more sustainable and therefore safer ways to do it. And we're by no means there yet, but I'm pleased to be part of it and working with a bunch of companies trying to help all that happen.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time today.
Pleasure. Nice to talk to you, Curtis.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.